Hello, we are Real Life Lovers. I'm Diana.
And I'm Murph.
And you're listening to Ménage à Trois, where we discuss your hearts and parts.
Each episode, we invite a third party to join us in the sack. We'll be chatting about relationships, sex, and every goddamn thing in between.
Hey, baby.
Hello, my love.
You look nice today.
Well, thank you so much. It's all the booze I've been drinking over the last few days. It's got me swimming in a glow.
You're pickled. You got that pickled glow. I love it. Who else has a pickled glow?
I'm looking across the room at the head writer of the Colbert Report.
Hello, Opus Moreski.
Hello, it's me, Opus Moreski.
Opus is with us today.
I'm so glad to have you.
I'm extremely sexy, too.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'm trying to get into the theme of things.
Yeah, well, you were dancing to the music, yes. Which we love, and you're wearing a tie and a pocket square.
Yeah, and the tie is sort of a phallic symbol, and it points right towards my crotchular area.
My eyes won't stay away.
I noticed that, and I like it.
Crotchular area.
Crotchular area, yeah, that's a medical term.
We're coining terms here on Ménage à Trois. You look very sexy up for this date. Most people don't dress up for us.
No, most people just go, fuck these two clowns. We're just going to come in wearing our pajamas.
Well, no, I figured I'd wear a lot of clothes, and then when it came time for the sensual striptease, there'd just be so much more for me to take off.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
It's all in the reveal, you know?
Yes, exactly. And they're all held on with Velcro, so I can just...
They can, easy tearaways.
Yeah.
Interesting.
By sensual striptease, it's all of 1.5 seconds.
Nice.
Well, we want to loosen you up so those clothes do end up coming off.
Okay.
So we're going to wine and dine you with your favorite drink, which is a gin and tonic.
Yes, a delicious gin and tonic.
The G&T. It's a classy beverage.
It's the official drink of Uptight Wasps.
Love that.
Let's keep it waspy.
Yeah.
We're trying to keep it uptight and waspy in here. I used to drink gin and tonics in college, and I remember I moved to Seattle after college, and a guy was like, oh, what are you having? And I said, oh, a G&T, and he said, oh, a panty dropper. And I remember being shocked and offended.
Is that a thing? I mean, I don't know. Yeah, is that just a thing?
I think it was just a thing to that guy.
he once gave someone a lot of gin and tonics, and then they took their panties off.
Yeah. Fell off.
The elastic in the waist of their panties just busted open. And
we're hoping to drop your panties today.
Well, okay. You'll have to loan some to me first, but then, yeah.
We always
carry a pair.
Well, we'll go to the Japanese vending machine that offers used panties, and we'll buy you a pair.
Oh, thanks.
Taylor has one of those, right?
Nice.
Thank you.
All right.
So as far as professionally speaking, now, how does being a political satirist, how does that keep you knee-deep?
No one has ever called me a political satirist before.
Yeah. You're a regular Twain.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I do,
great,
and
yeah.
I seriously do believe that. You are a political satirist.
Thank you.
So how does that get you laid?
Yeah, well, you can tell how comfortable I am with compliments. and that's very attractive to the ladies. It's honestly a little bit of a weird like sticking point with me because I don't want to. Here's the thing: is I'm in my mid to late 30s. I spent a good 10 years in LA, like doing really bad like writing jobs.
Right.
And I had to learn to love myself, as Whitney Houston said. Was it Whitney Houston?
That was Whitney. Sure.
I think Whitney probably said that.
She was high a lot. She probably said a lot of things. And so like now that I have a really great job that I love and I'm very proud of. Like, suddenly, like, people are like, ooh, we like you for your job. I'm like, about me for me?
Of course.
So it's interesting. Yeah, it's a little uncomfortable. I don't like to bring it up, actually, and when I'm meeting a lady at a bar.
So what do you say?
Just I'm a writer?
I'm working with my therapist on being better about talking about my job, so I'm trying to bring it up more. But, yeah, I would say I'm a writer, and I try and change the subject, and, like, you know, if they press it, I'd be like, TV, whatever. But
that's true, though, because if I were a lady and I were at a bar and someone was like, oh, I'm head writer of the Colbert Report, I think I would definitely be very impressed, which is a good thing.
Tell me more.
Well, yeah, but I could see how, like, what you're saying.
Murph, could you go get a...
I'm going to run and top off your beverage there.
Yeah, go to the vending machine.
This tie.
Take the long route.
This tie is too tight.
that was an amazing growl.
Thank you very much.
What you need to do is... find a woman who also has an equally impressive career.
Yes.
That you know that you can just be like an awesome power couple.
Yeah, that's and it has to be not showbiz related, but
that's
another thing we usually ask. You like to stay out of the you subscribe to the don't shit where you eat philosophy.
I'm back and forth on it because I know so many people, yourselves included, who are lovely couples that are both like really super talented, creative, funny people, and I'm like, "Oh man, I want that. That sounds awesome. Who wouldn't want to be like, you know, Will Arnett and Amy Poehler?" But then you think Will Arnett and Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
And then you think, I got to tell you, like, nothing. I've dated my fair share of like kind of funny people, but nothing is the biggest turnoff is if someone thinks that they're funny and they're not.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, if they don't know, if they don't think they're funny and they're not funny, that's fine. I don't care. No one has to be funny. I'm barely funny most of the time. But if they think they are and you go to that show and they're like just bombing,
That's rough.
My heart breaks and my penis falls off.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So then you're running around as a eunuch trying to find love. Yes. It's a hard time.
Oh, boy. But it makes a great sitcom. It'll be on this fall on the WB, if that still exists.
It's called Dickless.
We're going to revive the network.
Yeah.
Dickless on the WB.
Dickless. These Fridays this fall.
On the WWB.
And that frog comes out? Is
that
still that a
racist
thing?
Frog. Yeah. He was he's like a black-faced frog.
Michigan J. Frog. Yeah. Michigan J. Frog.
That was his full name.
Yeah, absolutely.
I never knew he was a racist. Sorry, that's another show?
That's another program.
Program. It's, all right.
Yeah.
Well, this, I don't know what frog would have to say about this.
Oh, man. Well, we may never know, but this is a little thing we like to do. We like to combine our loves of science and sex.
Sure.
Called Sexy Science.
Oh, that was a quick hose. Okay, sure.
You just started getting into that.
Yeah, I know.
My shoulders started going, and then it was over.
Thomas Dolby's lawyers get on the phone really quickly, or what?
Yeah, they're after us.
Okay. Right,
so the article we've ripped from the headlines to discuss today is Department of Justice ripped for making transgender restroom use new front in civil rights battle. This, just in the title, you can see is very... skewed to the right. This comes to us from Fox News.
We read this in a couple places and just loved the headline that Fox decided to attach to it. But at any rate,
the issue is that the Department of Justice ruled that a transgendered kid in a high school could use the men's room because she's transitioning to becoming a man.
Sure.
But the other interesting part of this article is that they're obviously prejudice in the direction that's making things uncomfortable for other people,
sure,
rather than the justice of this individual.
Yeah, they also tried a few moves. I guess they initially said she could use the said he could use the nurse's bathroom, the private bathroom in the nurse's office at first. And then the student was that's just awkward. Every time I need to use the bathroom, I have to go to the nurse's office, which makes it sound like it's a medical condition to have to whiz. So they were like, well, that doesn't work. And then, yeah, eventually the Department of Justice intervened and said this is, they're going to have to allow it. Now,
and all of the teenage boys in this high school were saying, oh, my God, no,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, please, no.
Still. As a teenage boy.
Here's what I think it brings. This is what's interesting.
There's so many, yeah.
For me, it's not even, of course, the whole issue of whether or not, the identifying as a man and the transgender issue with this. But I think it's more that it's, who even cares when you're in the stall? Like, there's nothing, I don't know why this needs to be a sex. People would be like, oh, well, there's going to be a woman who identifies as a man or not. So let's just say in their mind, a woman, you coming into the bathroom while you're... Like, I don't even see what the hell is the problem with
Let's get Ally McBeal on this. Let's just everybody...
Ally McBeal needs to be called in.
Yeah. If you're looking to explain that reference, just go to the website later. We'll have a link to 1992.
Just the year 92 will be linked. Mm-hmm. Wikipedia. Yeah.
Wikipedia 1992. Yep. Well, and also I think the point Fox News is trying to make, which is really barely a point, which is like, don't make people uncomfortable with new weird things. But I think your teen years are like so uncomfortable anyway that it's really great as sometime in your childhood to be exposed to like most things, you know?
Yeah.
So like if you had a transgendered kid in your high school, I think that's a great time to like make that an okay thing in your mind, you know?
And if you just look at like the way like the demographics are going, I don't know what this kid is going through, and I'm sure he's having a hard time, and it's probably pretty shitty. But I bet you anything that the real people who are upset about this are people who are like 40 and older,
and that
the majority of people in the high school are like, oh, all right, that's just Steve. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yes.
The mentality of people that are under like 25 right now about LGBT stuff is just a sea change.
Baby, I was born this way.
Yeah, and everyone's like, so who the hell cares?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's still like a lot of shit going on, but at the same time, like, it gives me so much hope to see, like, if you look under, it's like 87% under like 25 support gay marriage. Like,
yeah.
It's just insane.
These
I think you're right. It's like the parents in this community.
Yeah. Yeah.
The nonsense is disappearing as a generational thing for sure. And these prejudices. But the school cited safety and privacy concerns.
Oh,
safety?
Jesus.
Safety, yeah.
Safety.
Safety. Huh. She could have such a vicious bowel movement that the entire bathroom is just in danger. So I don't know. I mean, they're trying to play both sides of it, I suppose, this being a public school. But, Yeah, I think ultimately it's just, that brings up the other thing that in my mind is just, I heard someone say once at Yankee Stadium about a gay man being in the bathroom. So there's this paranoia of while I'm at the urinal, a man is going to be sexually aroused looking at my genitals while I'm pissing, which is of course absurd, but it's the same kind of idea.
I don't know how anyone, man or woman, could be aroused by a man's genitals, by the way, but that's just...
they're not attractive.
That's just me, but
Especially while urine is being expelled. Right?
Hey, people got their own thing.
Women are just like amazing actors.
Pretty incredible.
I used to in the mirror, just be like, great dick. No, I'm going to try that again. Great dick.
But
I like the way dicks look.
Point is, everyone's got to do it. Everyone's got to use the restroom, and it's not really sexy time. So you just go in and use it. Yeah. I mean, they could feasibly, I would say it'd be fine if there were unisex bathrooms.
There are in a lot of like hip bars that have unisex bathrooms.
And it confuses me every single time, even though I'm totally cool and progressive. I walk in, I'm like, wait, there's a girl just went in that stall. Is that... am I supposed to be here?
What is it?
Even though I'm totally cool and progressive, I'm also like was an idiot enough in high school that I would like repeatedly walk into the wrong bathroom.
So you've been there.
I did that once in college, and I didn't realize it until I was in there. And I had, you know, my pants down on my ankles, peeing in a stall in the men's room. And a guy
peeing
came
in the urinal.
I had no idea why the toilets were so weird in public and just right on the wall. No, and a man came in and just, you know, used the urinal. And I realized then, and I was like filled with terror. It felt like an 80s movie where you would get like harassed for being in the men's room.
If it was an 80s movie, though, you would have like crafted a fake mustache out of your own hair and walked out I'm a guy.
Just one of the guys. I would have taped my breast down.
Until the end, big reveal.
That gave me a lot of confused. That movie gave me a lot of confused feelings because I was still attracted to her as a man. She was super hot. I don't know. Who was that?
I looked her up recently. She was hot. Taylor, can you get on that?
Yeah.
Producer's looking her up.
But yeah, it's. I think it's also maybe people do get a little gun shy when there's opposite sex around, even if it is just in urinating, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I never used to have problems peeing in front of people, but even sometimes now at the trough style urinals with men around, I do have a problem. I think it was after...
so turned on by the other...
Yeah,
I'm
so aroused by all the dicks
nice
exposed.
Nice dick.
Yeah. And the scent of urinal
dick
cake. Really cool dick.
Wafting through the air.
Yeah. But yeah, it's. I think
but then
was...
when you start... It's really the thing of like you start thinking about it. You're like, oh, no, I'm not peeing. Oh my God, I'm not peeing. And then I better start peeing.
I'm still not peeing.
Oh my God, I'm still not peeing. Yep. That's what it starts to be.
I've gotten too stoned to pee before.
Yeah.
Oh,
too stoned to pee, too high to pee.
I think that there's something about science in there.
There definitely is.
Sure, yeah.
I think, well, it, also being stoned, I remember I never used to have a problem with when I was younger, but then I was on probation for drug issues and my PO, I used to skate around. I used to try to still do drugs in between piss tests. And I think that would be part of it because he was this huge ex NFL player who was from my hometown and then started.
This is another sitcom.
Yeah, another sitcom. turn PO, yeah, NFL PO. But then he would stand over my shoulder while I was pissing into a cup. So I think that just gave me a psychological thing of being a little fearful of someone standing near me while I'm urinating.
I got the MVPO. That would be the name of it.
There
MVPO.
Ooh, I was racking my brain. Yeah. You're all over
on
it.
On the I WB. It.
We are single-handedly reviving the WB.
It's gonna be a hot Friday this fall on the WB.
Nausea 12 Radio, sponsored by the WB.
And by Tanqueray.
And Tanqueray.
That just always makes me think of Tupac lyrics.
Well, Taylor Moore Sliding is a very suggestive photo.
Oh
my goodness.
Here's the woman, the actress
Joyce
from
Heiser.
Just one of the guys.
Joyce Heiser.
Joyce Heiser. Total babe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of, well, yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of like her. With the
more
short,
as kind of a boy.
With the boy thing.
The short hair was beautiful.
Yeah.
She looks a little older in this, too. I mean, Taylor.
How dare she age?
How dare she age from 1987?
Joyce Heiser, written hard and put away wet.
What?
Yikes.
Oh, this is what you were attracted to? I just pulled up the
picture. It looked a lot better in my memory than on that phone.
Yes, and it was also, I think, the big reveal at the end where she pulls the trench coat or the coat or whatever
she's
open.
She's got a bra.
Like, I have boobs.
Yeah, the breast reveal was very exciting. Even for me, I was like, you go, girl.
Well, now, what was the premise of this film, though? She was trying. She was a reporter, wasn't she?
She went to the other high school, but then she fell in love with her best friend who thought she was a dude, but she was really a lady.
Fucking 80s.
Oh, yeah. There was a whole lot of, like, hot, like, like lesbian girl sort of girl. Themed
yeah.
action. That's probably another reason why I liked that movie.
But like she was hot, right?
Well, it was played for comic laughs. It was supposed to be like, oh my God, she's about to kiss her and she doesn't know.
There's nothing funny about this.
I'm like, no, this is well, there's no comedy here at all.
And that dates the movie as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Like what you were saying about the youth culture now just being so hip to gender norms.
I mean, the premise
that.
Of this is like, haha, a woman dresses like a man.
Yeah, and we're like, no, that's a
it's
friend
like,
of mine.
Okay,
who
yeah,
does that.
Sure.
If you
yeah.
showed that to a 12-year-old, they'd be like, this is terrible
dumb.
Piece of trash.
Yeah, it's like the Michigan J. Frog, who was like kind of a blackface kind of character. It's like that. It would be like, oh, you're playing at that? That sounds that's a horrible thing.
I never realized that frog was
well,
racist.
Michigan J. Frog is not only racist, but also a woman has been in hiding for so long. He's going to expose his frog tits
just,
at some point.
Originally,
just one
Millicent,
of the guys.
Millicent J. Frog, originally.
Well, let's see what kind of advice we can give people today. We've been really trying
doling
to
out the teen.
Oh,
advice.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have our listeners send us these in a little piece we call Listener Love.
Listener Mailbag.
Wait, is it Listener Love or Listener Mailbag?
It's Listener Love.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
No, that's Taylor's artistic interpretation of this segment.
It was lovely, Taylor. I'm sorry.
So in Listener Love, we get people from all over
mailbag.
The country, all
Listener
over the world.
Listener Mailbag Love.
Listener Mailbag Love. And they email, tweet, Facebook us to get some advice on their hearts and parts.
Hearts and parts.
Hearts and parts. First one comes from Lana in Detroit. She emailed us this. I was always told to keep politics and religion out of the bedroom. My boyfriend of a month just divulged that he's a Republican. I am a very liberal independent. The sex is off the charts. Is there any way that this can last? So this is a relationship-based question.
How did
question.
She not know for a month?
Yeah.
I'm not saying people are always spewing politics, but I mean, a month isn't like,
it seems like a
date
month.
Or two.
Yeah, because when I'm having sex, I'm like, I'm going to make you scream like Howard Dean in the Democratic National Convention. Yeah! Yeah, wow.
That just blew everyone's eardrums.
Sorry, guys.
Well, hey, that was Howard Dean. Yeah. That's why he was immediately made a laughingstock, because he blew people's eardrums.
I just bring it up all the time.
Because you would think a month or been a few dates or having sex. I don't know. I guess it comes out in issues of, I've never just fully, I guess being an independent too is a little different. Because if you are actually a very staunch Republican or Democrat.
Wait, you're an independent?
Oh,
well, she's like a liberal independent.
So you would think if you're having any kind of conversation, the liberal or conservative, your views would come out
in
topics.
Other ways,
unless
exactly.
you're discussing a lot of fluff. Unless it's just fluff.
Unless it's just like we're talking for like a couple hours at dinner so we can go home and have that crazy, amazing sex.
Yeah, this is just a facilitator. Yeah.
I don't want to. I don't know.
Well, also, my father is a Republican. My mother's a Democrat. Also, they're not very political, so that didn't mean a ton to them, I think, growing up. And my father was immediately, I think he was kind of
a
Republican until
not
George
what it used to
W.
Be.
But no,
yes.
right.
Yes,
even exactly. HW, I think he was kind of like, but when W came along, like my father was definitely not.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think he's a progressive enough that. With his age and with what all me and my brother put him through, I think he's not really conservative at all anymore. But yeah, I guess he was kind of a Republican when it meant something different in the 60s and 70s. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so.
It's hard because I want to say, of course, it can work. You can make anything work. But I feel like there are some issues. I'd have to get more information on the
couple.
Yeah,
I don't
have
enough information.
Some things that are deal breakers, I think.
Yeah.
You know, like in terms of like, I don't know.
Well, how do you raise your kids?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. It seems to be like I've learned to have this sort of newfound appreciation for. I'm a pretty liberal guy. I am. You could tell by the Mao Zedong tie I'm wearing.
Yes, so liberal,
totally socialist. But I've actually like I actually because I'm in this world of a lot of political like stuff, and I actually kind of really get like a gut level like. Upset reaction when people are like super partisan on either side, where someone's like, every Republican's an asshole, or if someone's like, every Democrat's a real douchebag.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Which they say those exact things. But it's just like people have points of view, and I've come to appreciate them more and more as the longer I do this, because I don't want to fall into that like really just sort of rote, obvious point of view for myself.
Right.
So it seems like, I don't know, I know people, I have a really good friend who's like honest to God, like, want like libertarian to the point of like smash the state and like let's all just treat each other okay and that's going to work out and, and money will solve it. And I don't understand her at all. I'm like, you are a crazy person.
Sounds like me in my early 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
So and we're still pals.
We're still pals, yeah. We have long conversations, and sometimes we have to decide to stop having those conversations because we're going to kill each other. But it doesn't make me dislike her. She's still my pal. And
well, one thing that could save an awkward conversational disagreement is great sex.
Yes.
That's the other thing, yeah.
I'm not telling you to bang your friend, but at least this couple has that going
on. They've got that going for them, yeah. If the other person's saying something you don't like, put your genitals in their mouth. And then... that usually shuts them up.
That's amazing advice.
So use the old fluff and stuff, yeah.
Fluff and stuff.
Fluff and stuff.
You old
HR fluff and stuff.
Hearts and parts.
All right. Our second question comes to us from Willie G in Queens. He Facebooked us.
And Willie Geist. Thank you for...
Willie is.
MSNBC host.
He's on point.
Oh, no. We only talk about the WB here.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Willie G asks, I'm a thick dude, but not fat, but bigger. Every summer, my thighs rub and chafe so bad they bleed. It makes bringing women home awkward. It looks like I have some weird STD. Any tips?
Talcum powder?
Yeah, some powder.
Well, we do say hearts and parts, so this is
okay.
I also love that he identifies as a thick dude, not fat, but bigger. So that's that paints a picture for us about Willie G.
Guys, that'll happen.
It seems like I get the Yeah, I get some rubbage going on. Yeah,
you seem like a string bean.
Well, I am. Yeah. Well, the problem was I ran out of boxer shorts today. I have an emergency package of tidy whities that I'm like, all right, well, I gotta pull these guys out. And boy, I was reminded why I don't wear the tidy. Maybe boxer shorts. Willie would use the boxers.
Willie, try the boxers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think powder and boxer shorts should definitely save.
What do you do when you're chafing?
I just chafe on. I soldier through it. I don't know why. I should just get powder. I definitely should. But I do chafe. So it only happens. It is summertime, really.
Here, let's do a quick role play to help Willie.
Okay.
All right. So you just took me home.
All right.
What is that?
It's a thigh rub. It's a deep thigh rub.
It looks like an STD.
Look, I'm not fat, all right? I'm just bigger, and sometimes my thighs rub together. It's definitely not sexually transmitted.
Let's fuck.
Boom.
So I think he just seems to be honest with her, right?
Honesty, Willie. Yeah, just tell him it's not an STD.
And it seems like Willie's not having any trouble finding the ladies and bringing them home. He's just self-conscious about it.
Right.
And I bet you anything, it's much worse in his head than it is in head. Like, no, because you know what? Like, I don't know. You can provide the ladies' point of view. But for me, it's like, if I'm in bed with somebody at that point, I'm kind of committed. I'm kind of like, I'm locked in on that, you know?
There are only a handful of things at that point that could stop the action.
A tail.
Yes.
A
swastika tattoo.
Sure. Spider vagina.
Your vagina's full of spiders, or you have the vagina of a spider.
Either one.
Vagina coming this fall.
All right, so
after dark.
What has eight legs and loves to fuck?
Spider vagina.
Spider vagina.
Na 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 na. Wait, no, that's Batman.
Deborah Messing in Spider Vagina.
Deborah Messing is Spider Vagina.
All right, so our next question. So, yeah, just own it, Willie G. Just own it. Yeah.
Own it.
Our
own
next
it.
Question comes from Rich in Burbank. He emailed us this. Me and my wife have a deal, and I don't think we're the only ones, where we each get one free pass to have sex with a celebrity. Hers is Johnny Depp. Mine is Angelina Jolie. That's very creative.
Good choices.
And original, yeah. A coworker informed me that there's a brothel in L.A. that specializes in celebrity lookalikes. They have a Jolie. Any chance I can swing this?
No.
No, I think immediately you got to say no way.
You know, even if you had actual Angelina Jolie, I know you have this fun game with your wife, but no, you
still
can't.
No, she still would not. Unless you bumped into Angelina and Jolie and Johnny Depp in the same bedroom, and then you both could have it, and even then...
Like what's the movie they were in together?
The
word is for when you go somewhere abroad.
Vominos.
The tourist.
Vominos.
I don't know. When you said the word is, I thought it was a different language.
You know when you just blank? I was like, it's you're a person, you're in another country. The tourist. So you'd have to be on the set of
the
tourist.
You'd have to be on the set of the tourist. Yes. So retroactively, this could possibly have worked. But a lookalike.
I'd like to pose this question back to Rich, and since he can't answer, I know this is futile. But I'd like to say, like, what if your wife was like, hey, the bag boy down at Vaughn's in Burbank down there by the Togo's.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think of my Burbank knowledge. But the Vaughn's, the bag boy down there, he looks a lot like like a young Johnny Depp, only,
yeah,
you know.
Like a 21 Jump Street Johnny
Depp.
Yeah,
like
faced,
he's got the like feathered hair and everything. Well, so I'm going to fuck him. Yeah, would you be cool with that, Rich?
No. And the funny thing is Johnny Depp has worn so many weird outfits for Tim Burton movies that you could like pridefully pull that with like
anybody.
Oh,
with a lot of,
yeah. Just find someone you like, give him a top hat and some goggles and be like, hey, it's Willy Wonka. I'm going to go Wonka his Willy.
I'm going to go play that little game we play.
There's also paying for sex, which
Oompa,
is, comes
Oompa.
Up.
Yeah, that's a whole lot. Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I'm going to not only is it just like, yeah, there's this girl I know who looks so much like Angelina Jolie. It is going to a brothel and paying for sex.
I also like that he's going to bring home a receipt. It's like, honey, look, it says on the receipt, the one that looks like Angelina Jolie. So
he's down at the wax museum just like jamming his dick into stuff. Come on, this guy's a total asshole.
Got Madame Tussauds jazzing off on the sculptures.
Just any way I can swing this just sounds like he's looking for a loophole.
Yeah,
and
he
I think at the heart of that game he has with his wife is that's something that's never going to happen.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, even if it were an opportunity, you can't swing that. You can't.
Your answer is no, Rich.
You're an asshole.
And you're no, and fuck you.
Let's ask somebody else some questions.
Oh, yes.
All right.
We've answered some, and now we're going to get some answers in studio in six sections. There's six rapid-fire sex questions. Beginning now. Opus, number one, would you rather have 10,000 sexual partners or one life partner?
I already have avoided that question. I've already had more than one, so 10,000.
10,000. Opus, what's the sexiest animal?
The lemur.
Mm. Opus, who is your number one celebrity crush?
I have none. A young Janine Turner before I found out she was an idiot.
What's the best song to have sex to?
Anything on Portishead's Dummy album.
Oh, snap. Hot tub, backseat, or bed?
I'm going to go backseat, actually. Hot tub, not viable.
Mm-hmm.
Bed, too obvious.
What is the single most important characteristic you look for in a partner?
Is compatibility too broad?
No.
Broads. Is broads too broad?
Broads are broad.
Six sections.
Oh, boy. God, that was nerve-wracking.
Yeah, the music really.
People panic. Those were great, and they were very technical. Like, you were like, I've already made love to more than one woman, so I have to go 10,000?
Well, yeah, because also that's like a no-win question, because you're an asshole either way. Because, like, if you pick 10,000, you're like a man slut. You pick one, you're just like a pastor.
Puritan, yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Lemur. Is it the eyes?
I think it might be the eyes. Mm. I think that's probably the Janine Turner thing as well. I just like big eyes. I also was kind of flirting with Winona Ryder there, but then I just
Winona.
I just don't know how to play any music, so she wouldn't like me because she likes musicians.
She only likes musicians.
Yeah.
Wino forever, you'd end up with that tat.
I could.
Back to Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Johnny Depp.
Yeah, and I like the back seat. Is that a nostalgic kind of thing? Or?
Well, I just think like bed, okay.
Yeah,
that's
of course.
That's easy.
Boring.
Hot tub. That's just not that you can't really actually.
It's a bold disease.
It's bubbly, but it's just there's
Peachy
there's
dish.
Issues of yeah of you know there's just a lot of
hygiene.
Issues.
There are
hygiene
issues
and bracing oneself and
also I think like I mean, sure we've talked about this before. I don't want to beat a dead horse, but like as having sex in water is like just a novelty. It's not that great.
No, yeah.
Like you don't get that like friction because you're like flying the other way. I don't know.
Yeah, and there's
my
weird
experience
forces
is...
of yeah.
It well see I think the difference is in a natural lake, not a man-made lake. In a natural lake, you can kind of float. Or like a big body of water. I don't know why I picked a natural lake. But like a hot tub is there's jets flying. It's not it's not necessarily large enough to do. But in an open body of water, you can do things physically and positions and things underneath.
Yeah, but it's hard to get that.
Because there's
like,
no gravity.
Yeah, and it's hard to brace yourself off of things.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing to, exactly. You like have to find some like raft.
And the toughest part is catching the fish in the first place that you're going to fuck.
That's right. Because, I mean,
things,
yeah. What are you going to bait it with?
You know, noodling is hard in itself.
What happens when a man goes to a lake and tries to find a fish? I'm trying to do the WB
It's canoodling this fall. Thank you and good night. It's probably the best joke I'll ever write in my life.
That's
you heard it here.
So we're gonna chat about a couple of fish in the sea in our PC spotlight.
This is our power couple of the week. You know her; she's a lithe but steely art lover and owner of the Clean Water Initiative.
Oh, you know him, Serpentine South Carolina gent and House Majority Whip.
We're talking about Claire
and Frances Underwood.
Yeah. is Blair their son? Blair Underwood?
Their son is Blair Underwood.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
Wait, have you seen House of Cards?
I have not. No,
oh,
I apologize.
We picked the worst PC for you.
What? I'm sorry. We That's could talk right. anything about Orange is the New Black.
Well, here's the thing. We can, we actually, since it's just all released at the same time on Netflix, we can just pause this, watch all 13 episodes,
all yeah.
come back and discuss.
I'll tell you, I actually started watching House of Cards. The first scene, there's a dog that gets hit by a car.
Yes.
And I was like, I can't. No, my God, that dog. What? And
yeah. That never happens again.
Well, I just assumed it was a series of dogs getting hit by cars.
Yeah.
House of Cards is like about the fragility of canines in
that
a
was my assumption.
Motor world. Yeah.
I know. Was just like, oh, I'll enjoy some light in their tail. Oh my God,
oh,
the dog.
No.
I know you don't even see the dog. Wait. You just hear some whining and,
so
and
he puts
Orange,
it.
I think we should do Orange is the New Black.
Let's
we've
do
all
Orange
seen
is the
that.
New Black.
Sure.
Let's scrap that PC.
Yeah. Let's scrap
Save
that
it
PC.
For another day.
Call an Audible. We'll go with Jason Biggs and.
No, come on.
Why no?
And what's her face?
I was going to say Laura Prepon.
Oh, okay. That's a better PC.
Lover,
that's a better
right?
PC.
Yeah, yeah. yeah
okay,
yeah.
So yeah. So the idea here is that you what know her. Raven hair dyed drug dealer.
70s show alumni.
Her name's Alex something, I believe.
Alex something.
Yeah.
And then who's the other one?
Piper.
Piper.
Chapman. Piper Chapman.
Chapman.
Piper Chapman.
You know her. She makes soap and ran drugs in college. Smith College graduate.
Mm. We're, of course, talking about Alex.
No, that's Piper.
And Piper. Well, no, I was saying. Okay. Well, this Audible just blew up in my face. All right.
And then there's that scene where the two of them have lesbian sex and kill a dog, which really...
you don't care so much when the lesbians get involved.
All the Netflix original series are about euthanization. but yeah, so all right. So this idea is she got her in kind of a sticky situation. It was just a what I did for lust type of thing in her youth. And then it came back to haunt her.
Yeah.
So what wouldn't we do for a real sexy...
I would definitely put drugs in my ass for you.
Aww. You would mule for me?
I would mule for you.
Guys, put that in your vows.
Yes, I will mule for you.
We shall.
Yeah. I would also insert any kind of drugs for you.
Into your pee hole?
Into my pee?
My pee hole?
My pee hole. I can fit maybe half a gram in my pee hole. But my bum, on the other hand, that's a trunk. We could fit a couple of fucking pounds in that thing.
I'm like, get you drunk. Get you love drunk off my trunk.
My trunks.
All right. Opus, you brought us the power couple, so you talk about them.
Yeah, what about this power couple, sexy?
Well, it is. It's a pure, like, it's a pure lust thing. Like, it's clearly, like, they're just, like, well, they don't even, there's a point, I think, in the series that they probably don't even like each other very much, but they're like, well, we can't not fuck, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty foxy, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Alex is a handsome woman.
Sure, yeah. It's actually super weird. In some of the flashbacks, she is dressed in sort of a very, like, kind of, 50s, like, bouffant.
Yeah,
looks exactly like a friend of mine to the point where I immediately paused the thing, took a photo and sent it to her. And she was like, yeah, five other people have sent me that already. But now it's creepy because now I have this association with the friend of mine with the series. She's a lovely person, but now I'm just like, oh my God, my friend is.
What? Your sordid past is.
It's, wow. I didn't know. So now I know my friend has heroin.
Excellent.
I think that's how that works.
That's exactly look-alike sequel.
So yeah, it is a she was kind of swept up in the romance of the whole. I don't know if it was clarified if it was her first lesbian experience or not. But
yeah.
I think
it
might have been.
It seemed like it was.
Yeah. So she was kind of caught up in all of that. And
well, it seems like she's trying to be like, I was dumb and young and trying things in college, and then because of like. How events play out and she ends up in jail with this woman. Mm-hmm. It's like maybe that wasn't a phase. Maybe there's more to that.
Yeah.
There's this idea of like latent sexuality or something kind of there. I don't know.
I think we're all on the spectrum.
I
don't know. I think the character is actually interesting because she's looking for an excuse to do these things that she probably wants to do. And I think there's a lot of that in the whole show.
Absolutely.
It's like, where it's like, all right, she feels that she has to be this certain way. And don't we all? And then, like, suddenly she has this, like, oh, well, I have this excuse to live this wild lifestyle all of a sudden. But if anything goes wrong, I can still, like, shift the blame.
Yeah.
Right.
And so there's a lot of that in there.
It's not my fault. I was in jail.
Yeah.
That's a character trait.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those, passionate in the moment type relationships. Doesn't have any longevity necessarily.
Or
to
does it.
It?
Or does it?
Tune
well,
in
look,
next
I'm
season.
I'm only four episodes in, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Biggest problem with this show is that it's not on the WB.
Get there. Yes.
Ooh, all right. Let's scoot right along. We want to see what you would do in a latently sexual situation.
Latently sexual.
I wanted latently to apply sexual. My term.
I think every sex situation is latently sexual.
Yeah, thanks.
Unless you're playing it coy. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to go into virtual sugar. What we do here is we've really combed through the OkCupid profiles that are out there,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to pick one that was perfect for you.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. So we're going to take you on an improvised date. This is a real OkCupid profile, and her moniker is Funny Girl.
I shall be playing Funny Girl.
Diana will be playing Funny Girl, and you'll be playing yourself.
Okay.
And we'll just see how this date goes. We'll see if our knowledge of you has panned out. And the location of this date is going to be, you're going to go strawberry picking.
Strawberry picking.
Strawberry
date
picking.
Date begins
all right.
now. Hi.
Oh, hi. It's me, Opus Moreski, playing myself.
Hi. I'm Funny Girl, but you can call me Sheila.
Sheila.
That's my real name, yeah.
Wow. You look if like your photos from an angle.
Oh, yeah. Those are actually, it's weird. Those are from like 10 years ago.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's been a rough decade for me.
Hmm. What's been going on? I mean, I don't want to get too deep too quickly, but here, have a strawberry, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, sure.
Nom, nom, nom. I was in Afghanistan, which is where I lost my arms.
Oh.
So that's a thing. And then I decided to dye my hair red. Just for fun, put on a couple pounds. I'm just like dominating this conversation. Oh. Tell me about you.
Well, I've got all my limbs and, you know, I'm sorry. Here, do you want any more? I could feed you more strawberries if that's.
Please,
here,
I'm
you,
starving.
Here, have another. Here, have another one.
Welcome Thank to you. Almalia's. You know, you guys are going to have to pick. Oh, ma'am. I don't know how you're going to manage here at Almalia's. Are you guys the new hires or what?
Oh, no, this is just a date. We just came in from the city.
Oh.
For a little...
I'm actually okay. really dexterous with my toes, so mm-hmm. I'll be fine. Thank you.
Oh, well, you do have a couple of berries between your toes there, don't you? All right. Well, okay. Enjoy yourself here at O'Malley's Farm. Make sure to tell all your city folk to come in and visit us. Yeah, okay. Happy picking.
Okay, sure.
Don't know what
okay.
the hell. All right, see ya.
Oh, my God. He jumped off that cliff. This is a very strange.
Sorry, I picked a weird location.
No, it's cool. It's just, it's a, you know.
I so like it's dating a, with purpose.
Yes, it's like, what, you said like 4 hours till the next bus back? Is that what you said?
Yeah, or we can wait 8 and take the 9
oh,
o'clock.
Oh,
yeah.
that's, oh, yeah, sure. I mean, we'll spend a lot of quality time.
It's so hot out and you're wearing a 9-piece suit.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of a formal guy. I'm a little bit of a gentleman.
Yeah, I feel weird now that I'm wearing a potato sack.
Well, you know, it suits your figure.
Thank you. That's so sweet. Can you feed me another berry?
Yeah, here. Take another berry.
You guys see my father? I'm looking for my father. Oh, Jim O'Malley Sr.
Oh, yeah, the guy, the sort of the balding guy in the overalls.
Yeah.
He jumped off a cliff.
Yeah.
What?
Things got really awkward and he felt, I think he felt a little awkward and I'm sorry.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
From a sharp dressed man.
Yeah. Are you okay? You gonna be all right?
No.
Feed him a strawberry.
Have a strawberry there.
Nom nom nom.
Hey, have you met Funny Girl here, by the way?
Hi, I'm Sheila.
Hi, Sheila.
I notice you guys are kind of, you're wearing the same potato sack. That's kind of...
Yeah, these sacks are made by my grandma.
Oh,
Olivia.
Really? I think I bought some from her.
Yeah, she sells them out at about half a mile down the road. I'm sorry, I'm a little broken up.
Hey, it's all right.
Learned about
I know, I feel bad we deliver that news in such a...
glib way.
Yeah.
Well...
We're actually on a date, though. Could you scram?
Ooh, sorry. Okay, see you around.
All right, but hey, he was kind of, I think he was into you, Sheila. Oh, well, doesn't matter.
Oh, my God. He jumped off.
Anymore, I suppose.
The whole family's going over, the O'Malley's.
Hey, you want to go look at this cliff?
Yeah, but wait, can I ask you a question first?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know how experimental you are sexually, but I have these pits where my arms used to be that I've had some experience with men enjoying putting their... weenie into them.
And do you call it that when they're doing that?
An armpit?
No, I mean just the voice. Is that part of the thing or is that just...
I don't know what you're talking about.
Weenie! That...
Whoa, I just creamed my potato
Oh my God, oh my goodness. Hi. Whoa.
All right, let's go over the clip.
I was trying to set Sheila up with the farmer's son.
I know, and then he just...
It was so artfully done. It was. I thought maybe...
You set the table.
Yeah, I did.
And then I just ran off a cliff.
And of course, why would I... This is like, this is classic. Like, this is a real, like, hint into my psyche where immediately I assume, oh, I'm on this date, something's got to be wrong. I better insult her looks first thing. Just
right
set
the
table to make it an awful, awful date. That says a lot about me.
Well, yeah, but then I next leveled by insulting the military.
Yes, yes. Well, also, we usually want to find out if there's going to be a second date or not, but now we know the answer to that because I think everyone just ended up at the in the ravine.
Yeah, I think we all jumped off the cliff.
No. Yeah. Would you know my name? All right. That was a sad date.
That was a bit of a sad date, yeah.
There's some other sad stuff going on.
You know, I always feel really sad at this portion of the show when we have to say goodbye.
Opus Moreski, we're saying goodbye to you.
But I was...
I know.
Can I call you guys?
Please do.
There's ways to contact us. But first of all, the way people can contact you is by watching the Colbert Report.
Sure. They can contact you that way. They watch the show. It's an interactive show.
If you scream into the television, Opus may hear you.
I might possibly, yeah. Oh, you could... I do the Twitter.
What's your tweets?
Hey, it's Opus.
Hey,
oh,
it's Opus.
That's a great Twitter.
Easy to remember.
At Hey, it's Opus.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Absolutely. And also, we're on Twitter, at Menage Radio.
We're also on the email at menageatois.radio@gmail.com.
Oh, boy. Please, our web presence is phenomenal, and you can experience it at menageatoisradio.com.
We'd like to thank our producer, Taylor Moore, who just put
this special gem.
He's a special gem. Mm-hmm.
Please like us on Facebook. We're on there. We got our social media presence. We're trying to move and shake.
We're trying to shake and move off the cliff.
We're just moving right off of the cliff.
And remember to tune in for Spider Vagina.
This fall.
Right after Dickless.
And the Racist Frog Talk Show.
It's the new TGIF lineup on WB.
Thank God it's Frog. On the WB. Your home.